brace yourselves. It's time for the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast with me, Matt Ford, and you, Chris Skull. I thought you were going to say your name then.
No, I wasn't sure. Maybe I should have.
You know your name, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Most but it's Chris J. Skull, isn't it?
Chris J. Skull.
So what's the J?
John. Route 1. Knock it up to the big man.
Route 1, John.
Yeah, Route 1, John.
Mine are James and Thomas.
Double A?
Double A.
I didn't know that. Double.
MJT Ford.
MJT Ford. That's a good name. That's a better. That makes you sound like a political and a US political commentator.
MJ Ford.
You'd have a job on Fox News if you adopted that.
Maybe I will one day. Get out there. Go really right wing for the fun of it. Well, talking of the fun of it, boy, this podcast is packed to the brim with fun and food. Food that we like, food that we hate, food that we would frankly ban. We've also got Paul Merson.
Oh, what a chat that was.
And I am sounding a little dry in the throat today as a result of all the football fun. And you noticed it.
Out the gate.
Out the gate. Watch it.
But interestingly, listen to the voice get better the longer the match goes on.
But then it seems to have got worse. Oh, no, it's sort of all over the shop.
Yeah.
I just need to have an early night, drink some honey and lemon and ginger and maybe a whiskey.
Yeah.
And it'll all be good. Enjoy the show. It's full of World Cup fun.
The Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio with Matt Ford and Chris Skull. And I'm now completely self-conscious about my voice.
Yes. What, you've been gargling gravel all night?
I beg your pardon. You've been reading too many articles in the Metro, mate. No, I have been shouting at the telly.
Oh, right.
I've been on tour as well, you know, yeah. as a voice artiste. My vocal cords are my tools and sometimes they get worn out, repetitive use.
Yeah.
But I was screaming at the telly during that Scotland game last night.
Oh, did you stay up for it then?
Yeah, I became Scottish. I thought the referee was terrible.
Oh, it's awful. I actually watched the highlights this morning. I didn't stay up for it. And there were several decisions that you're just like,
that's definitely a red.
Yeah.
Because he's admitted that it's a foul and he's the last man, so it's got to be a red. There's no world in which that's a yellow.
I heard the VAR guy was the same guy who did France-Senegal and he had several controversial decisions in that game too.
And there should be at least one penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so Scotland, we're supporting you, as you regular listeners will know, and gutted for the miscarriage of justice that happened last night. But here, to preview, a second week of red-hot World Cup action, it's Chris Skull.
In a week that marks 22 years since The Killers released, quite simply, one of the greatest albums of all time, the seminal indie classic Hot Fuss, it's time to reflect on this week at the pressure machine that is the World Cup and preview what we've got to look forward to over the next few days. Let's start with Scotland. Last Sunday, they came out of their cage and they were doing just fine against Haiti, securing a 1-0 victory in the process. Then last night, they were the victims of some very dodgy refereeing decisions as they lost 1-0 to Morocco. Penalty after penalty denied by Uzbekistan referee Ilgez Tantashev, who simply imploded the mirage of good officiating last night in Boston. Elsewhere this week, we had a 7-1 victory for Germany over Curacao, who had nowhere else to run but to the back of the net to collect the ball after each one of those German goals. One of the pre-tournament favourites, Spain, looked very human after picking up a turgid point in a 0-0 draw against the not-so-mighty Cabo Verde. France and Kylian Mbappe looked wonderful, wonderful in their 3-1 defeat of Senegal. But I got news for you, baby. You're looking at the man when it comes to Lionel Messi, who scored a hat-trick as Argentina beat Algeria 3-0 and in the process tied with Miroslav Klose as the all-time World Cup top goal scorer. And then it was Wednesday. And would it be another headache, another heartbreak for England? No, it wouldn't. He doesn't look a thing like Jesus. Oh. But Captain Harry Kane proved that he just might be England's salvation in this World Cup as the Three Lions beat old foe Croatia 4-2. And how did it end up like this for Qatar manager Julian Lopetegui, who proved his losing touch after watching Canada throw caution to the wind in battering his side 6-0 while also also getting two players sent off. And so coming up today, we've got a couple of classic World Cup fixtures. At 6 p.m, who's going to come out on top in Netherlands versus Sweden? 9 p.m, Germany versus Ivory Coast. Both will have to be battle-born as they contest the top spot in Group E. It's Absolute Radio Indie Rock and Roll Football for me, Chris Skull, and Matt Ford.
You are a genius. That is the best one you've ever done.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know what? Usually the fun is that it's a bit rubbish. Today, I would say that's what the emails from listeners say. That was genuinely superb.
Good stuff.
Man, you've changed. Oasis Wonderwall, which is obviously the new anthem of the England team.
This is what I was about to say to you. Here's a shocking fact. I've never liked Wonderwall until I saw the England fans singing it to the players singing it back, the nation coming together, the momentum building towards World Cup glory. My opinion on Wonderwall changed Wednesday night.
I like you. But at times, I mean, you're a clinical moron. That song's been out for 30 years. Yeah, it's one of the greatest songs ever written. I know it's overplayed, but I can't believe you've never liked it.
It's not Don't Look Back in Anger.
I agree.
It's not
It's Wonderwall.
Roll With It.
No, it's Wonderwall.
It's not Live Forever.
It's Wonderwall.
It's very melodic plodding.
However, plodding? Yeah. It's euphoric.
But
you
I would
maniac.
Say it had an emotional quality to it when the England fans were singing it to the players and the players back. And
okay.
I understood the emotionality of it in a way that I hadn't before.
So if
and
they
it
were
took
to
Jude Bellingham for me to do that.
So if they were to sing Gertrude or Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West, just seeing Harry Kane dewy-eyed at any song, then transports it into your heart.
There may be undertones to that song that Harry Kane would bring to the forefront. Yeah,
I was shocked at how emotional they were this early in the tournament, because I remember after the Germany game in that amazing Euros campaign, and they're all singing Sweet Caroline and Kane was tearing up. You know, you felt that was a real moment. But just after winning your first group game and they're all getting that.
Do you know what
phenomenal.
I found was quite interesting? And I think this is maybe a psychological point I'm going to make here. What were the England players doing? Because I think it takes a lot of confidence to stand there in front of the fans. They were happy to be in that moment, to interact with the fans. You know, no one was trying to walk away. No one was going. They were just standing there enjoying
taking it.
Taking it all. Everyone was taking it in together. There's a real presence. They were living in the moment.
They were.
They weren't trying to rush it through, like England taking penalties, trying to rush it. No, they were present. They were all present. Do you know what I'm saying?
Have you got into spiritualism or something?
No,
into crystals and incense.
I just thought it was interesting. They were prepared to sit in the moment. No one was trying to back away from it.
Well, because it was happy.
Yeah,
they just won. They're singing Wonderwall.
Yeah. I just thought it's interesting, isn't it?
Maybe you're seeing stuff. Well, you're seeing things we'll never see. But,
very good.
that I'm not picking up on. But I thought it was entirely logical that after a win, you put Oasis on and you enjoy it.
Yeah, but usually you walk around the pitch and you're gone.
Yeah.
They were stood there.
Do you know what it is as well? I think it's partly to do, one, it's the song. Two, it's the stadium. Is they're clearly just in awe of seeing that many England fans sort of rising in front of them. There's something kind of, you can see them taking in the spectacle.
Yes.
The Colosseum.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
And also, maybe they just think, we've slightly changed our approach and it's worked and they're loving it.
Yeah.
And maybe they feel like we're on the precipice of something, even early doors here, that could be very, very special.
No! Come on!
We've got to believe I'm wearing an England shirt every day. But that's true all year round.
Man. Imagine!
We have to. Because and Scotland have to believe that they can do things. You have to believe. You can't close your heart off.
Yeah.
It's better to believe and end up getting your heart broken and enjoy the ride than be some sort of cold, stone-hearted fool who doesn't let love in.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, Scotland lost last night. We talked about that earlier. Terrible
injustice.
Reference. Deep injustice. But the Scotland fans are definitely winning the World Cup at the moment. They're having the best PR of any fan base in the world.
If what was the bar called in Cheers? Because that was in Boston, wasn't it?
It was called Cheers. Are you kidding me?
Oh, is it actually called Cheers? Well,
what
anyway.
Was the bar called in Cheers? What was the... Can everyone just stop what they're doing and just remember that moment? Because you're going to tell your grandkids about it. What was the bar called in Cheers?
I thought that's what you do with a beer. You cheers it. I didn't realise the bar was called
Oh
Cheers.
Oh, my God.
But that was in Boston, wasn't it?
I just want to... I don't want this to pass me by too much. I want to revel in every millisecond of the madness of it. What was the bar called in Cheers? Chris Scott. But
if that bar was non-fictional, the turn of the prophet...
Whatever it's called.
Ted Danson, if he was real, whose character was real, Sam... He'd be,
Sam
very
Malone.
He'd be very happy with the profits from the Scotland fans.
He would.
Actually, is it? Is Cheers... Because it is actually a bar in Boston, isn't it? It is actually...
What? Chris?
It's not... So it's a real bar, isn't it? What's going on?
Have you been drinking? It's all right if you have. It's the World Cup. What did you have for breakfast this morning, and was it off? We've been eating fermented fruit.
Just some unopened mints I found in the gutter.
And some moon.
Some raw eggs.
Well, what they've done in Boston is haggis is illegal in America.
Is it?
Yes. But in Massachusetts, they have legalised it because they love the tartan army so much. Haggis is now legal in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Haven't been made illegal in a lot of states in America.
Wow. Is this a recent development for the World Cup?
Yeah, it's just like 2 days ago.
Just 2 days ago.
They did it with the Tartan Army. So, what food would you make illegal? Text us on 81215. Chris Skull.
Tofu. I cannot stand it. I don't understand anyone who... I can eat almost anything and I can appreciate flavours. I don't like whiskey. But I can understand why some people like whiskey. Tofu, I don't believe anyone actually likes it. If someone says to me they like it, I think they are lying.
I quite like it.
You are a liar.
I just chop it into cubes and fry it.
Do you?
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a wrap or a sandwich.
To carbonise it so you can taste the carbon over whatever that taste is.
Oh, yeah, you've got to like drench it in soy sauce.
Yeah.
But
flavour.
Yeah, for vegetarians, they need a protein sauce, don't they?
Yeah.
So what would you advise they do instead?
I've no advice.
You don't care?
There must be something else.
Paul Merson on the way here on Rock and Roll Football. What an absolute star. And now it's time for the first of two instalments of the funniest clips of the week in football. American fans have taken to the Tartan Army. They've also taken to England. And one American fan was asked which England player he would want in the American starting 11. His answer may surprise you.
If you could get one player from the England team into the USA team, who would you bring in?
I would bring in Burn.
Burn. Not Kane, Bellingham, Anderson.
Rice.
Burn.
Yeah. Maybe just... they lack the height? Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe that guy, and I'm a big fan of Dan Burn. Maybe that guy doesn't know much about football. That would be my guess. Mark Chapman. Obviously, it's always going to be hard pronouncing names that you've not heard of before, or maybe not said that many times, and Chap has struggled a bit.
Just tell us quickly about Kettle. I know. Anyhow, tell us about him, because you played with him at Milan.
I love that. Yeah, anyhow, don't take the mick out of me. No, I'm closing down. Let's talk about football, mate. All right? Don't matter what your name is. Roy Keane, two amazing clips from the overlap here. Firstly, Gary Neville talking about how the breakdown of a relationship affected his form, and Roy Keane responding kind of a guess.
We were chatting yesterday about players losing a bit of form. You know, you got two spells in your career. Obviously, it never happened to me. But the lads were saying it. You have and Neville was saying, I had 6 months and on the back of the Euros, wherever. And he says, I was going through relationship issues. Wow. A fullback's going through relationship issues. You can still stop crosses. You know what I mean? That shouldn't stop you closing a winger down. Oh, my girlfriend, she broke up with me. Obviously, she got right side back.
Right side back.
You still stop crosses. That shouldn't affect you.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
It got her eyesight back. Right. It's unbelievable. Like, what a line.
But I don't know how to feel about that, because on one hand, I'm like, yeah, you should still be able to stop crosses, but that's not how mental health works, is it? Could just shut it off for an hour and a half. This is a great chat, and one we've had on this show before about insults.
Roy, you called me an egg when you said Sol Campbell plays the most World Cup for England.
Did I?
Yeah. You did. Yeah. What's everyone's favourite PG-rated insult? I've got a couple. Tool.
Tool is
your tool. Yeah. Your weapon. your weapon. I like your weapon. Tool.
You mug.
What's that guy said? Justin Bardia, he called you what?
Yeah, he called
Rude.
Herbert. Eggs are beauty. Eggs are beauty. Tool is good as well.
Tool. Weapon.
He just keeps saying the same thing. Weapon. Weapon.
Come on,
Chief. He's repitching that. What do you like, PG and Salts? Careful.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
Wally. Wally. Drip.
Yeah,
Div.
Drip.
I love Div.
Numpty.
Numpty's nice.
Yeah.
You Div, I like that. Yeah, Slice. Div.
Yeah.
Peace. You absolute peace.
Peace is good, yeah.
Because it's got a bit of force on it. You peace.
Yeah.
Earlier, what was the name of the pub in Cheers?
Craig Charles on Takeshi's Castle used to have about 7 or 8.
He did.
I'm going to get the list of them for a future link.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about on this that? Show
on
today.
On this show, yeah.
Excellent.
Once I validate with producer Will, they're definitely okay.
Okay. We're going to check they're okay, then we're going to read them out live on air without compliance checking. What could possibly go wrong? After Massachusetts finally legalized haggis, what food would you make illegal? Text us on 81215. Someone here says, the risk of being unpopular. Toad in the hole should be made illegal.
I noticed that text, as they've said, anonymous. They've actually signed it off anonymous. And they were right, because you don't want to be associated with that, because the toad in the hole is a great meal.
Thank you so much.
If you can't be bothered to do a roast, that's when I do a toad in the hole.
Oh, so you actually make them from scratch?
Yeah.
Any secrets?
Chipolatas, they're the best sausages.
Great. And would you make some sort of onion gravy with that?
Sometimes. A bit of thyme as well, a bit of thyme in the...
Someone's middle class. In the... middle class toad in the hole. Mm. Nice. Very nice. Well done.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
Would you have anything else with it? Veg, for instance.
Peas.
Peas.
Mash. Homemade mash.
You're so East London.
Geezer.
Easy geez. Someone else here says, I would make tomato ketchup illegal. It is the devil's sauce. It is rank. It is disgusting. It tastes nothing like tomatoes, says Russell in St. Albans.
Paolo Di Canio banned sauce, tomato sauce, at Sunderland when he was there.
Why?
Famously. I don't know why.
Fabio Capello?
Capello banned it as well. I think it's high sugar content.
I think it is high sugar content, but it tastes delicious, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think that's the high sugar content.
But are you a fan of tomato ketchup? Where do you stand on it?
It's not my favourite condiment.
What is?
I tell you what, actually, there's Marks and Spencer's are doing a peri-peri sauce.
Of course it's Marks. Some thyme on your sausages, Marks and Spencer on your toad in the hole.
Peri-peri mayo.
Depends on the context, doesn't it? I like brown sauce for bacon and sausage. I like English mustard on a steak.
On a steak?
On a steak. Mm. English mustard over any other condiment.
Yeah.
Works so well. Tomato ketchup with chips. I wouldn't have brown sauce with chips. In fact, I just think salt and vinegar on chips. And I'll tell you what the food I would ban. Brace yourself, pal. Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I like mushrooms. I'm intolerant to mushrooms.
What, like a racism thing?
No, it just gets me very gassy just to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it gets me very gassy. And I did an intolerance check and it was like, yeah, you can't eat mushrooms. But I do like, on a pizza, thinly sliced.
Disgusting.
Good stuff.
I'm going to tell you something. I hate the smell. I hate the texture.
Yeah.
I hate the flavour of every single format of mushroom. There is not a single redeeming thing about them.
Yeah.
That's my view, okay?
Yeah, well.
I'm intolerant.
That shiitake mushrooms are quite nice.
No.
No?
No, they're not.
Thin?
No. But if the idea is you've got to chop them up so fine that you can't see or taste them, doesn't that rather suggest that even the person plonking them in your ramen knows that they're not good enough?
Yeah,
you're trying to hide them like it's dog food, like putting vitamins in my chum. then it's obviously not good.
Yeah, fair enough. M in Pembrokeshire, I would ban kale. It is beyond vile. I wouldn't even feed it to animals. kale crisps are nice. You have kale crisps?
Also, I like kale in its normal format. I like really rich green food. Dark green cabbage, spinach, kale. I like that rich, irony taste.
Leek.
Oh, yeah. Although I wouldn't say that was that rich in flavour. Although I do like leek. It's more oniony.
Heavy, green.
Do you not like that sort of thing?
In a broth?
Yeah, maybe if you want.
Just
cooked.
Yeah. Do you know what? I hate big leaves on pizza.
Totally agree.
What is that about?
It's denial is what it's about.
Also, big leaves in like burgers. What are we doing as a nation?
You're trying to make it look healthier, aren't you? The whole thing is daft. One slice of lettuce on a double XL bacon cheeseburger. Oh, it's 1 for 5 a day. Just doing an impression of myself. I'm such a pig, man. I just think about food all the time.
Have you, it feels like this is coming from a place of particular gluttony this week. Have you got out of control?
That's a really good point. I have been quite a pig this week.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I was in Glasgow, wasn't I? What are you supposed to do? Not eat chips?
Yeah.
Not have a few Guinnesses, a few beers?
I got quite drunk for the England game. And then in the days after that, I had like, the older you get, the longer your hangovers go on. And I must have eaten about 4 ice creams yesterday.
What sort?
Haagen-Dazs ones from the garage. I just bought a couple of strawberry tarts that are on clearance in Tesco.
The whoops aisle.
I ate both of those.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But your body, you know, you're just responding to what your body's telling you. People say, listen to your body. Sometimes your body's saying, give me strawberry tarts.
Yeah, and I don't think we should always listen to our bodies. I think my body was fooling me there.
Was it?
Yeah.
Playing tricks on you.
I didn't need double strawberry tart.
Did you feel good afterwards?
Yeah, I did, yeah, momentarily. And then the shame kicks in.
Shame?
The guilt. Why have I eaten all these strawberry tarts? It's clearly a meal for two.
You're like Bruce Bogtrot, just like piling your way through cakes.
Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast. You're listening to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
What a pleasure to have footballing and broadcasting royalty, Paul Merson, on the show. Paul, welcome to Absolute.
Hi, hello everyone. Hiya.
It's so good to have you on, particularly as you're promoting this back of the neck campaign with Macmillan Cancer. So what does the campaign want people to do?
Well, more people get burnt on the back of their neck than anywhere else. So it's really good because Dan Byrne is getting sponsored by Boots for the back of the neck. So instead of back of the neck, it's back of the neck. You know, especially with the heat now, I had melanoma. So it's something that I'm, you know, very passionate about, you know, making sure people don't get burnt. So, yeah, it's great what Boots are doing. And they're doing, you can pop into Boots and have your mole scanned for 20% off to the end of the World Cup, which is really good. Obviously, some people busy to get to the doctors or whatever, and then they can just walk into Boots, which is very good what they're doing.
That's amazing. Paul, we're obviously in the middle of an American World Cup, and you came so close yourself back in 94, just missing out on World Cup qualification back then. Broke my heart as a kid. Are you watching England in North America right now, and are you a little bit jealous at all?
No, not jealous. I have my time, but it's great. You know, you just hope that the lads just understand that this is an unbelievable opportunity. Got a very, very good team, and they've got a good chance of winning it. A very, very good chance.
And after watching us in the week against Croatia, what's your assessment of the difference Tuchel has made?
First of all, the tempo was really, really good, especially second half. It reminded me of watching a Premier League game. And that's what we need to do. We need to play like a Premier League game where it's fast and it's frantic, and teams will struggle with the pace of our team playing that way. We've got a very good squad. You know, not. I don't think too many squads can bring on the quality of player that we brought on in the second half. And the other thing is, when we were winning, usually we sit back, don't we? You know, we take off a forward, put another defender on, invite pressure. And he didn't. He put another attacker on. He just went like for like and put it on them. And I like that. I liked it, you know. I do like Tuchel. I think he's a good manager. People say, oh, you don't need a manager. It's all about the players. Believe me, you need a manager.
Tuchel's a good manager. I'll tell you who else I thought was a good England manager, Glenn Hoddle. And he picked you to go to the France 98, and then he picked you again to take a penalty in that Argentina penalty shootout, and you scored, but with a little bit of kind of psychological help from Glenn, right?
Yeah, Glenn, very, you know, very, what would you say, spiritual?
close.
Very, no, he put his hand on my chest and went, you will not miss. And I believed him, to be fair.
Wow.
I didn't miss. He should have done it to everyone.
Yeah, well, that's it. He should have done it to David Batty.
He could have won the World Cup.
Man.
Yeah, he could have won the World Cup. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably only me that looked petrified on the halfway line.
Looking back at France 98, when you're in the middle of that squad and that tournament, Are you aware of how much it's catching fire in England back home?
Yeah, 100%, because I've watched it as a kid myself. Do you know what I mean? I watch it now. Yeah, I mean, you've got to put it in perspective. When you're stepping up to take a penalty in the World Cup or even playing for England, every Tottenham fan wants you to do well.
I never thought about it like that.
What about Scotland last night, Paul? I don't know if you saw the game, but a couple of refereeing decisions, that had they gone the other way, they could have got at least a point out of it.
Yeah, and to be fair, they did well in Scotland, because when they went 1-0 down after 70-odd seconds, you're thinking, oh, here we go, this could be a cricket score, put some more light bulbs in the scoreboard. But, you know, they've done well. But you just need luck. Everybody will need luck along the way to win the World Cup. You know, it was a gutter for them. Of course it was, you know, because of the early goal. But they could have easily folded, and they did it. And they put in a performance, and they kept it. Now they're level. They've got 3 points, and their goal difference is level. You know, that gives you an unbelievable opportunity to get through as a third place at the moment.
And Steve Clarke gets his fair share of criticism after results like that. What do you make of him as a coach?
Amazing, he shouldn't get any criticism. I mean, he should be knighted. I mean, the last time they were at a World Cup was 28 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and every World Cup needs Scotland there. I mean, their fans are absolutely amazing. I mean, when, you know, just to stay up and listen to the Flower of Scotland national anthem was mind-blowing. Do you know what I mean? It gets the hairs off you, come up on your arms. Yeah, unbelievable. I would probably say 3 points and a -1, -2 goal difference will get you through to the next round. And no other Scotland team's ever done that.
Yeah, it'd be amazing to witness that history. How far do you think England are going to go?
They could go a long way. It all depends after the group stages. Because not every top team's going to win their group. You know, we can all look at the bracket and go, right, we're going to play these, and then we play these and these. It only needs one other team not to win their group, and that all goes out the window. But they're going to have to beat some unbelievable teams on the way. Whoever wins, it's got to beat England as well. So, for me, we've just got to wait and see what the run is after the group stages. Because, as I say, not every top team's going to win their group.
I guess what you're saying is, it's coming home.
Oh, wait, where do you live, Paris? We got a chance. I mean, that's not all you can hope for. Is to go to a tournament, got a chance, got a very good manager, and got very, very, very good players.
Paul, always a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And get your sunscreen on, especially on the back of your neck.
Okay. Last week, we launched the most pioneering feature in global broadcasting, Trust Your Gut, where we pick a fixture, we pick the food of those two nations,
yes,
and whichever food producer Will says is the best wins. Now, last week, we did Brazil against Morocco. We had it as a Brazil win on the back of some lovely Brazilian steak. It ended up being a draw. So we never really pick a draw. You could pick a draw.
At the group stages, it can be a draw.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. So today we've got Sweden against the Netherlands.
Yes.
I've got Sweden, you've got the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I'll be generous and let the guest go first. So what food have you brought in to represent the Netherlands?
Okay, so I had to bring in food that represented the Netherlands and their cuisine. Now, we're talking about banned food on this episode of Rock and Roll Football.
Steady on.
And obviously, the most famous Dutch food is banned in the UK. So you'll be glad to know I haven't brought any of those funny little cakes they sell in Amsterdam over. You with me now?
Yeah, I am.
You catching up?
Yeah, I am. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
So, secondly, I went and got some crepes this morning.
Ooh.
And then I left them at home. I forgot them. And then, just before we started the show, I had went out to the shop round the corner and I found my first choice. Ladies and gentlemen, Stroop waffles.
Oh!
Not just any old authentic Dutch. Stroop waffles. These ones have been injected with brownie flavour.
Let's get them over to Will.
Here we go. We're opening them up.
Let's get one over.
This is going to take some beating straight off the bat.
Ready, Will?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Stroop waffles.
Stroop waffles.
Oh, they're not easy to open.
Authentic Dutch. You can warm it up over your cup.
That's right. The idea is you put it on top of your
beverage.
Coffee.
Okay.
Here we go.
Are we going for it?
We're going for it.
Oh, yeah, they're getting that crunch in
there. God, they look good.
They do.
Oh, my God.
They look almost Oreo flavoured.
That is really good.
Oh, here we go.
So it's an early goal.
It's an early goal for the Netherlands.
Shall we just end it there?
No, we will not stop the count. So, Sweden, meatballs obviously comes to mind.
Okay.
It's actually quite hard to find Swedish meatballs. in the supermarket round the corner from the studio. So I thought, I'll just find Italian meatballs. Turns out it's very hard to find Italian
Come
meatballs.
On.
So instead, I've got you. Well, you can unveil it there.
Okay, all right. Just while you hand those over, do you know who does the best Swedish meatballs?
Go on.
IKEA. You ever been to the IKEA?
I have, so good.
Canteen?
Right, here we go. Oh, wow.
So it's ravioli, which I know is Italian.
What?
But they couldn't, I couldn't find meatballs and I couldn't find Italian meatballs.
It's about as close
meatballs.
To meatballs, as,
about close to meatballs as I could get at the local supermarket.
This is like when Ireland picked Tony Cascarino.
I'm sure there'll be some Swedish herbs used in there.
This is an outrage.
Right, let's try a bit. Here we go.
Here we go.
Ravioli.
So four cheese ravioli.
Oh, that is really good.
It is
I'm
good.
Not sure it's Swedish, but it is really good.
So, to produce a well, you've got to trust your gut.
I think this might have to go to VAR, no? Like, do we
producer
actually...
Producer Will's
even...
got this all done. Try and lead the jury.
So, early goal for the Netherlands.
Yes.
Yeah, street waffles, great. Really. And then, all I would say, 95th minute, a goal for Sweden.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Yeah.
But.
The cameras are out.
Oh, hang on.
Turns out the goal scorer for Sweden...
Yeah.
Was Italian.
Oh, man. I banged to rights.
Huge!
So 1-0, 1-0 to the Netherlands.
We're saying 1-0 to the Netherlands tonight. Is that strong enough to put a bet on?
Yes.
Yeah, I won't. I'm too scared. But we say, trust your gut tonight. It's a Sweden win. No, Dutch win.
There we go.
I'm an idiot.
There we go.
Idiot. What food would you make illegal? Scully, what are people saying?
Craig in East Yorkshire. I'd ban kidneys. I'm not eating a wee filter.
I agree. I think it tastes disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's from a bygone time when people couldn't afford meat. There's no need to eat that stuff anymore.
I always thought that steak and kidney pie was exclusively steak, and like the kidney aspect was just like a layover from the days when they would put kidney in it, but it was no actual... the day I realised there was kidney in steak and kidney pies,
and it,
no thank you.
And it smells like wee.
Oh, come on.
It's disgusting. Steak and ale, fine. Steak and kidney beans,
yeah,
I'd be up for that.
Yeah, kidney beans, fine.
Dan from Chichester, peanut butter should be illegal. Now, as someone with a nut allergy, I'm open to that.
It's a good, on toast, a good breakfast alternative.
Or,
every now and again.
Hello.
Yeah.
And do you like the chunky stuff?
No,
the
not
smooth,
chunky. What
sun-pat.
Kind of nutter has chunky peanut butter?
This country full of nutters. There'll be millions of people.
Smooth all day.
And why smooth and not chunky then?
It's like, why do people like orange juice with the big bits in? Like, what is that adding to the table?
Big bits?
You know, the orange with bits, orange juice
with
bits.
Yeah, I've never seen it with big bits.
Yeah, but they're all big bits, aren't they? Picking them out of your teeth, nearly choking.
Because it feels more healthy, doesn't it? You're getting a bit more of the fibre.
Is that what that is?
Fibre? I guess what it is. You know, it's matter, isn't it?
Orange juice with matcha.
I like it. It makes it feel more fresh.
Nah, a bit too real for me.
Real?
Yeah, a bit too real.
So what, like you like it surreal?
Like smooth, orange juice, bosh, neck it. You don't have to worry about choking.
You just want it as processed as possible. You want baby food.
Sunny,
you want to be spoon-fed from a fake aeroplane.
The death of Sunny
bib.
Delight in this country was a national tragedy.
What? Man, that stuff.
Yeah,
that's neon juice.
Do you remember people were
toxic.
Going orange? People were turning orange.
There was
great
like
days.
Victorian levels of moral panic about Sunny D, weren't there?
Sunny D.
It was seen as like the cause of societal breakdown. And these kids, they can't be reasoned with. They've lost it on the Sunny D. Man, good old days.
Yeah.
Text us on 8-12-15. What food or indeed drink would you make illegal? Laura says, I'm in the car on a long drive to Devon to cycle the Dartmoor Classic. Well done. She says, James would ban licorice. For me, it would be kidney. How can meat be so dry? Liver as well.
Oh, yeah.
Liver and onions. We had that a lot as kids.
I used to like liver sausage when I was a kid. Liver sausage. Liver sausage and cucumber sandwiches.
Liver sausage, die sausage. That's what they say.
Very good. That was huge in Essex in the early 90s, liver sausage. It was a big thing.
Was that like an aspirational dish?
I don't know. It was a
Thatcher
real cuisine.
Era.
Real cuisine of Essex.
Someone here says peas, they really are the devil's bogeys. Peas are great. Peas are a total loophole in the veg world.
Yeah,
if you don't like your veg, you love your peas. It's veg for people who don't like veg, isn't it? They're so sweet.
There's nothing not to like about peas.
I love peas in every format.
Yeah. Gravy.
Gravy.
Great one too.
What, peas and gravy?
Peas and gravy.
Peas, mash and
perfect.
Gravy.
Oh, hello.
Just mush. English mush.
I don't like those wet onions that you sometimes get at football matches when you could buy a burger off of them.
Oh, yeah.
And like, but I do like them in onion gravy when they're just sloppy, a bit on the mash, and you got your peas.
Yeah.
And then you, whatever. It just, if you want to do sausages, you want to do steak, it just works. It all does. Works.
Peas, and I, my Instagram algorithms, I watch lots of cute rat videos. Really got into rats on Instagram. Wow. And often people with pet rats will just put peas in a bowl in water and the rats will come to the bowl and they'll pick them up individually and eat them. It's very cute.
Matt, that sounds horrifying.
Does it?
Yes.
Does it really?
Rats eating peas out of a bucket of water. How can you describe it? I refuse to believe there is such a thing as cute rat videos.
Okay. I'm going to show you them, and when we come back after this song, you're going to be honest about whether you think they were cute or not.
Deal.
It's decision time. Be honest.
Okay.
I showed you a couple of videos of rats eating peas. Were they cute?
The I would say they look more like mice.
They were rats.
Big ears. I'm going to say not cute. Slightly harrowing, but the most harrowing thing about you showing them to me was you said, you want a rat.
Well, I might want a pet rat. I think they're intelligent and they're cute.
Yeah.
But have you ever met one?
So once I got on the Central Line in London and get on the tube, I was stood at the platform and I saw two mice come out from like under the railings and get up and stand just on where the track is. And they got up on their hind legs and had a boxing match. These two mice were punching each other. Like they're punching each other. And I just, me and the woman next to me looked at each other and were like, what on earth is happening? The two honestly, this happened. It is
mad. I believe
mad.
You. I
it
believe
is
you.
Mad. They were even fighting, like boxing, like Queensbury rules.
Even the mice in London are hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Terrifying.
Text on 8-12-15, what food would you ban? Karina says trifle or anything with cold custard.
Cold custard is an acquired taste, isn't it?
What are you? Have you acquired it?
I'm hot custard. I'm hot custard. Are you? Custard cream.
Even if you say so yourself.
Yeah.
Custard creams are cold.
Yeah, I don't mind that cold. That's fine cold.
Okay. Yeah. So it's about the context.
It's the context. As I've said about custard, it's always about the context.
How often are you having hot custard?
Not enough. Not enough.
Is it something you want to have more of, is it?
Because it's a real effort, isn't it? You can't just have a custard. It's got to be following a Sunday roast, maybe an apple pie, you throw some custard on. But rarely do you ever get the chance to indulge in just a hot custard.
Do you know what? You
yourself.
Could just get some, microwave it, and spoon it into your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. But that's frowned upon, isn't it, as a society?
Who cares what anyone else thinks?
Yeah, you're right. Drink custard like no one's watching.
This show says drink custard. Someone here says they're putting a new roof on their pergola, and they would vote to ban McDonald's, or at least restrict opening until midday. Yeah, but that's just, you've got to self-regulate that.
And also,
you're saying you like it too
McDonald's
much.
McDonald's breakfast is good.
What do you have?
Double sausage and egg.
How often are you having that?
Couple of times a year, probably.
Okay.
Just when if I'm very hungover, that's sense.
Christmas?
Christmas. No. Not Christmas.
Okay, when? What time of year are you having
I had one Thursday.
Oh, my word, he's had two this year. Two a year, you know, if the year started on Wednesday. Well done, mate. So, Chris, you were saying that there's a rule change we'd like to bring into football.
Okay, couple of rule changes. Well, no, one's a rule change, one is a presentation thing.
Okay.
The rule change, how about this as an idea? I said this the other night to some friends and they thought it was a great idea. Why is it such a mystery how much time the referee is adding at the end of a match during the match? Why do we have to wait till the end? What if we had a second clock which showed the seconds counting up how much the referee is adding to the time?
Oh, that's nice.
And so everyone is aware. And also when you get into injury time, the referee is pausing that injury time because he's delaying it, like if teams are time-wasting. So everyone's on the same page.
So then it keeps getting added on.
You can see it getting added on.
Oh, I like that.
Why is it a mystery? Why are we never allowed to know how much time is getting added on?
This is a sort of freedom of information campaign.
Come on,
it's about transparency.
And also an injury time, if they're time-wasting, you could see, oh, well, the time's just been paused.
That's so good. I like that. And what was the other thing?
And the other idea is that, like, the World Cup is a world tournament. So how about when Argentina score against Algeria? Why don't we have a little box in the corner of the screen showing the scenes in Buenos Aires?
Ooh.
I want to see these nations celebrating their goals back in their homeland.
That's great.
Come
God,
on.
God, you're good.
A couple of great ideas.
They're
there.
Really, they are two excellent ideas. I thought they were going to be daft. I was ready to pour hot custard all over them and really denigrate them. They are both phenomenal.
Good ideas.
I believe that you need a role in shaping our game.
This
I think
is
you're
it.
A great ambassador for football, Chris.
Who's the old FA? Graham, if Graham Kelly's listening.
If Graham Kelly talked like that. I think Chris Scull has the leadership and the vision to take the Football Association into the modern era. I do believe that his ideas, particularly on timing, are particularly relevant, and I would like to welcome him aboard today as our new head of presentation and timing issues, executive director to the board.
I wonder how many Absolute Radio listeners know what a great Graham Kelly impression
was.
That was.
It
was really he was here in the room.
Wow. We got a bit of competition with the John Richardson Show during the tournament. We are playing card games, guessing how many cards in total will be awarded. Is it awarded? You get awarded a card? Will
yeah,
be displayed. How many cards will be displayed during the tournament each week? So last week, John predicted there would be 34 cards in total last week. I guessed 55. There were 76. So the Rock and Roll Football won. John Richardson Show, nil.
That's in a week.
In a week.
76.
So how many do we think there will be in this coming week? There were 76 last week. How many do you think, Chris Scull?
I think there's more games this week. So, and also they're more pressure games. So I think you're going to see more. I'm going to go 90.
Oof. Do you know what? I'd written down 80. So I'm going to stick with that.
Fine.
You say 90. I say 80. John is also guessing 90.
Oh.
Do we
what does
go,
this mean?
Do we want to go higher?
I think it's higher. Go 91. It's going to be more.
Oh, hedge it.
Hedge it.
Hedge it.
Hedge
God, you're
it.
Good. God,
hello.
You're good. Your talents. You're reinvigorating football. You're a broadcaster, podcaster, match day host at West Ham.
And now, man. Math's genius.
Wow. Okay, we'll find out next week who wins the card games.
The Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Well, there you go. And I promise you, go onto Instagram, type in rats and peas, and you will see some very, very cute videos.
I'm quite into watching people ride roller coasters.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. That's really cool.
It's a new thing I've got into. And my algorithm is rewarding me by showing me more of them.
My algorithm is cute rodent videos, predominantly rats. And the occasional prairie dog. And
what's a prairie dog?
It's like a sort of big rodent.
A wild... Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, why are you so into rodents? It's so
odd. I just think
odd.
They're cool.
Yeah.
And also just food, like big pizzas and big sandwiches being cut in half, big pies. Cool, isn't it? Is it?
What an algorithm.
Do you think that's sad?
Has anyone ever been arrested for a dodgy algorithm like that? Because that you've got so much going on there.
Do you think?
Yeah, rats, people eating pizzas.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing illicit
I don't
or
know.
Wrong.
It's somehow gluttonous and terrifying.
Thank you very much. Chris, it's been a pleasure.
What an honour.
Enjoy the rest of the World Cup.
Will do.
We'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Rock and Roll Football.
Podcast done.